Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
From KMOX Sports, this is the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning. Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Along with you on what's going to be a great sports day here in St. Louis, taking my daughter to the IndyCar race tonight. Worldwide Technology Raceway, Bomarito Automotive Group 500. It is race day, and we will be there today. My wife and my oldest daughter are headed to Miami of Ohio for some college orientation, a little freshman orientation. So we all got to visit this morning. Audrey and I are hitting the IndyCar race. Great day with her yesterday at the Challenger Baseball event at Tillis Park. What a job they do. My goodness. Over 30 years now of people with disabilities, giving them the opportunity to play baseball. And I was asked if I would fill in and be a coach of one of the teams. So I did. And, man, we were good. I mean, Jacob leading off and Waldy, our second baseman, batting second. Christopher was our number three hitter. Logan, our cleanup hitter, was big time. Logan crushed one out to left. Only had one at bat. Logan had, he's a popular guy. He had to be somewhere else. So we had to make an adjustment in the lineup. We moved Jason up in the lineup. Riley batted sixth in the original order. And Daniel wrapped it up as our number seven hitter. We were tough. We were tough. We had fun. What a great group of people. Thank you to Challenger Baseball for bringing me in as a coach. It was an absolute pleasure. And Audrey, my daughter, was our catcher. So they needed a catcher. She's a softball player, so she came in and caught. I think that was pretty cool. And we had a good time volunteering at the Challenger Baseball event yesterday. Speaking of catchers, a former catcher sparked the Cardinals yesterday. I love this guy. Wilson Contreras is a spark plug, as you know. He's a fireball. He is all those things wrapped into one. He does a lot for this club. He's now their first baseman. And yesterday, the Cardinals were involved in a little bit of a dust-up, I would say. Now, they weren't. There was no benches clearing situation. It's not like they were, going after each other and ready to fight. But there was a lot of jawing going on out there, let's say. A lot of jawing going on out there. A bit of a heated win, and I'm very curious to see this rivalry develop and what happens today. And also, in an interesting twist, and the first I saw to bring this up was John Denton, in that both the Cardinals and Brewers are going to be at the same hotel in Chicago starting tonight, because the Brewers are playing the Cubs and the Cardinals are going to play the White Sox. But here's what's happened. Contreras, in the third inning, was backed up at first base. He backed up at first base, and he collided with Caleb Durbin, the rookie for the Brewers. And the Brewers were hollering. They were upset. Contreras said he wasn't trying to do anything to get Durbin hurt. He said he was running inside the line. I stayed where I was. I have the right to stand on the bag, and collided with Durbin. Then he was kind of talking into the Milwaukee dugout, as obviously they were chirping at him. Well, I saw a little bit later Jose Quintana throw a pitch inside to Alec Burleson. And while that's not Wilson Contreras, to me it looked very intentional. Not only the pitch itself, but looking at Quintana's reaction to it, where he just kind of stood there and was staring and blinking, I thought, oh, okay. He was trying to pay back and get Burley. Well, he didn't get Burley, but he got Contreras. He plunks Contreras intentionally. Ollie's shouting over at Pat Murphy, the Brewers manager. The Cardinals, obviously. Contreras takes the ball. He knew what was going to happen. Contreras takes the ball, walks it over to Quintana and hands it to him, and then goes to first, which is kind of a cool move. Then they walk Nolan Arenado, and Pat Murphy holds up one finger, letting Quintana know he still wants him in there, wants him to face one more batter, and that batter is Nolan Gorman, the left-handed hitter against the lefty Quintana, and this is what happened in Milwaukee.
The pitch, a swing, and there's a high fly ball, center field, hit deep, it might go, it's a goner for Gorman, a three-run homer, and the Cardinals punch back. They lead 7-1 in the fifth inning.
They punch back, all right. John Rudy with a great call on KMOX, reminiscent of Mike Shannon's call of Albert Pujols when he got knocked down by Kerry Wood and then hit a home run to center field. Same situation in my book. Take a little whiff of that, big boy, as Gorman hits a home run. First home run off a lefty in a year for Nolan Gorman, and he crushes it off Quintana, and the Cardinals take a 7-1 lead, and they won it by a final of 8-5. One concern here, and it has been an ongoing thing, the Cardinals' starting pitching has been shaky at best. And yesterday, even in that win, an 8-5 win, it was a really good one, but Andre Pallante only went 4 1/3 in that ball game, and it was the Cardinals' bullpen that had to clean it up. Pallante allowed only 4 hits and walked only 2, but he allowed 3 runs, 4 of them in total, 3 earned, struck out 7 in the game, and the Cardinals had to lean on their bullpen to finish it out, and they did. Leahy an inning and 2/3, Romero 2/3, Maton an inning and 1/3, and then Helsley pitched the 9th inning. So the Cardinals get a lot of work out of their bullpen, 4 2/3 innings worth, and they win the game 8-5. But that leaves it to Michaelis, who's going to have to deliver and go deep into the game today, or deeper than Pallante did, and as Michaelis sometimes does. Michaelis is a very good pitcher, though. Cardinals need him today to get this thing on the right foundation. If the Cardinals' rotation doesn't work, the team is not going to do well. I mean, it is the foundation of the team. They don't have enough firepower and enough overall talent to overcome weak starting pitching. So they're going to have good starting pitching. They have an elite defense. They have an offense that's up and down. They have a bullpen that's getting better and better. They've got to rest that bullpen and got to get the starters going deep. That's the only concern. Otherwise, I think it's a fun team that broke a 6-game losing skid, and hopefully they never look back. The division's tight after the Cubs. Cubs have a 5.5-game lead on the Brewers. Cardinals are 6 back. Reds are 7 back. Reds beat the Tigers 11-1 yesterday. Cubs beat the Pirates 2-1. Reds can take the series if they knock off the Tigers today. That game will be going here in about an hour. We'll keep an eye on it. Cubs and Cardinals won't play each other until June 23rd. You want to close a little tighter there so you can make some headway when the Cubs come to town to Busch Stadium for those four games. Exciting time for sure. Also up at Energizer Park, just up the road, this happened on Y98.
Berkey bullets it forward, header by Bob Grundle. That's all close! Oh, I don't believe it! Hits it into the upper 90 across the face and goal to tie it 3-3. Stoppage time, second half! They're throwing hats on the field at Energizer Park! The first hat trick in team history!
Joey Zanaboni with the call on Y98 FM. Now, if you told me that Klaus would have a hat trick, I'd tell you City wins the game against the LA Galaxy. That was not the case. That ended in a 3-3 draw. But nevertheless, history made by Klaus, first hat trick in City history. This is their third season, and a season that I think is really important for them to do well, and they are not in the standings right now. You look at the table in the Western Conference, City and Galaxy are the bottom two teams. But City and the Galaxy end up in a 3-3 draw, each getting a point. We'll talk to Lutz Fansteel about it on the way at 11:15. IndyCar, I mentioned. We also will discuss hockey today. And we have a big interview with Dan Reardon, our senior golf editor, live next to discuss the U.S. Open at Oakmont right here on KMOX.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Great to be back with you. The U.S. Open taking place at Oakmont. Dan Reardon, our KMOX senior golf editor, is with us. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Tom.
If I were to say the leader at the U.S. Open thus far, I would say that would be Oakmont. It has hurt the field in many ways, although there is still time to catch the leader right now, Sam Burns.
Tom, you hit the nail on the head. You know, we've been doing the Sunday morning leaders at majors for quite a few years. And what's different about this is Oakmont. You know, there's 156 players who played in this tournament. I think if you ask all 156 the same question, what's a harder course you've ever played? I don't think one of them could give you an answer to that question. This is harder than Shinnecock, where Koepka won at one over par. This is harder than Wingfoot, where Bryson DeChambeau won at 5 under par. This is harder than 2016 when Dustin Johnson won. To put this course in its perspective, you and I were on the air together as Angel Cabrera came down the stretch and won in 2007 at Oakmont. What we may not remember is Cabrera finished at 5 over par to win that championship, and the player he beat shooting 5 over par was Tiger Woods. There is no course like Oakmont when it's played for a major championship.
Especially after rain like it had yesterday. What makes it so difficult, Dan? Is it the rough? Is that rough that you just have to stay in the fairway?
Well, I'll give you two answers to the question. The first one is it punishes you in every phase of the game. If you make a mistake off the tee, it will punish you severely. If you make a mistake into the greens, it will punish you severely. If you put it in a bunker, it will likely punish you severely. And if you get on the greens and make any misjudgment on speed, it will punish you again. And the other thing I will point out to you, Tom, the difference between success and failure for the leaders today or anybody on this golf course can come down to as much as 1 inch. If you miss a green and it rolls off into the edge of that rough and into the long rough, that 1 inch could cost you an additional stroke. So that's the task that these leaders face today. That's the task the entire field faces today. And that's why this is so different than talking about Scheffler at the PGA or Rory at the Masters. You can't say, well, if he just goes out and shoots par today, you know, if that's what Sam Burns does, he'll win this Open Championship. There's no guarantee that Sam Burns will be even leading this championship after 9 holes, or he could be maybe 2 shots better than he is currently. But you're going to hang on for dear life. You're not going to go, you know, people back up on the final day at a major, and the leaders tend to back up on the final day of a major. Today, I look, there's 2 players right now on the course that are 1 under par for the round. The rest of the field is over par.
And among them, Rory McIlroy, who is on the course right now playing number 9. He is two under for the day, but plus eight for the tournament. Bryson DeChambeau didn't even make the cut. Xander Schauffele's even today through a one hole. He's plus seven. Dan, it's really something. John Rahm's even. He's plus seven. As you mentioned, some of the best players in the world. You look at the world golf rankings. Scottie Scheffler is plus four as he gets his round started at noon today. But let's go back to McIlroy. Before we talk about the leaders again, what do you make of McIlroy evading the media? I don't think there's any other word to use there, although he did talk to them after the round yesterday and kind of explained his stance. Like, hey, it's not in the rules for me to talk to you, so I don't need to talk to you, and I've earned that right. How is that being taken, do you think, by your fellow colleagues?
Oh, not well at all. Absolutely not well at all. And he'll get hammered for that, and he deserves to be hammered for that. Rory is, it's sort of interesting. Rory has been front and center so often in the last couple of years. Particularly, he took the brunt of the questions as LIV conversations were taking place. Rory got burned at the PGA when they leaked the information that his driver no longer qualified to be played. And he wasn't cheating. That was, there were other players in that same circumstance, but they leaked his name. And I think that burned him in a way that he felt was unfair. I know he felt it was unfair because he expressed as much about it. Now, shutting the media down is not going to solve this problem. Pouting about this is not going to solve this problem. And I think, you know, he sort of threw the challenge at them yesterday when he said afterwards, you know, I'm not required to talk to you. And that's my choice. And he's right about that. But he may be forcing the issue as far as the entire PGA Tour is concerned. They are going to have to mandate that players not duck the media. You know, in other sports, my understanding is in Major League Baseball, they bring players in for you to talk to, but you no longer have access to the clubhouse after the game, access to all the players. And we've seen that in other sports. Golf has been a little more generous in terms of their time. You know, I saw Scheffler after shooting even par. He's sitting well out of the lead of the championship, and he was on with NBC, and he was just delightful. He was laughing. He was very conversational. He had played with his young child and his wife. That's who Rory can be, and I just think he needs to find his way back to that point.
I hear that, absolutely. And, you know, when it comes to media, I understand that it's changing, and I heard someone make the point today on PGA Tour radio that, you know, media is changing. So Bryson DeChambeau, for example, could shoot a video after his round, and that's the media access that people get. No, that's not the same. You can't sit there and control the message yourself and not answer questions. I mean, that's the whole point of having a media contingent there, and that's what journalism is. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting, Dan, to see how it all turns. Back to Scheffler. Scheffler, four over today. He's the only one in the field, Dan, maybe Victor Hovland, but Hovland's a little closer, three shots back, that could make a magical last-second run if the others come back to par. Would you agree with that, even though he's seemingly too far back to do so, eight back?
Yeah, it's very similar to what we talked about on Sunday at Augusta, where I thought Scheffler had not played well for 3 days and still had that kind of firepower that if we found that ignition switch and got it started, he could do that. You know, I go back to the point about the golf course. Why is this golf course so difficult? Really, it boils down to, I think it exposes the PGA Tour players as players that build their careers and their performance around the driver. And so this is not a PGA Tour event. This is a 7,300-yard course, not a 7,600-yard course. And whether it's Scheffler or DeChambeau, whatever it might be, so many players in today's game rely on the driver to establish the foundation for whatever else they do in the round. And this course doesn't care whether you hit every fairway, as J.J. Spahn has been doing, or you miss quite a few fairways, as Sam Burns. It doesn't care. You know, I'll draw an analogy to you, Tom. We're close to the end of the NBA Finals. Would the same teams be in the NBA Finals if they didn't have a three-point line? Because the three-point line defines professional basketball. The driver defines professional tour golf today. And this course has taken that driver out of their hands to a certain extent, and they have to find a way to win without it.
That's such a great point. I mean, for somebody like Rory McIlroy, who hits bombs and has literally won tournaments with his driver, and just hitting wedges in from there. You can see why he's frustrated and why any of the big bombers are frustrated. Dan, going back to the top here, what I do like is that I'm learning about J.J. Spaun. I'm learning about Sam Burns. Look, I am a big golf fan, as you know, and I've covered the game, but I don't watch every tournament. I've got other things that I have to cover and have to do. I watch the majors, but I don't watch every tournament, so this is my opportunity. I like when there are unknown names on the leaderboard. I know that the networks and some casual fans might not love it, but I do.
And you know, Tom, you know, because I spend more time, because this is the only sport that I really intend to follow, I can tell you that I was aware of J.J. Spaun mostly because of how well he played at the Players' Championship and how unfortunate that odd 17th hole in the playoff cost him a chance to beat Rory in the Players' Championship. I've been familiar with Sam Burns because he was touted as one of the really great additions to the Ryder Cup team, and he was a very big disappointment in Italy. And certainly I'm aware of Adam Scott, and what I hope is not true today for Adam, that has been true. Adam has played very well in the last year or so until he got to the back nine on Sunday, and then he started to give strokes back. And so I've been, and then Victor Hovland, I'm aware of Victor Hovland because he shot 80 to dust out of the Memorial tournament, and then came back a week or two later and won a tournament. So, I follow these guys, but you're right, Tom. That's what you're seeing. You're seeing personalities that we don't get a chance to see as often as we'd like to. And I think part of that is the signature events, which really spend all their time and energy on the elite fields.
Victor Hovland, one of the great ball strikers in the world. He is three shots off the lead. Burns, four under. Scott, who is a major champion, the only one in the top 10, three under, along with Spaun. Hovland, one under. And then everyone else is even or worse. Ortiz, even par. Hatton, I like him a lot. One over. Lawrence, one over. And the rest of the top 10. Neergaard Peterson, two over. McIntyre, Young, tied at three over. Everybody else tied for 11th, including Scottie Scheffler. Dan, what a treat to be able to chat with you. As always, it is golf's third major of the season. It is the U.S. Open at Oakmont. Enjoy that final round.
And, Tom, one quick note. The four guys at the top of the leaderboard all fade the ball, and I don't think that's a coincidence. I think accuracy is rewarded when you fade the ball.
That's a really good point that I'm trying to do in my own game, but I don't play enough to even come close. Dan, appreciate you. Have a great day.
Enjoyed it, Tom.
That is Dan Reardon, KMOX's senior golf editor. Happy Father's Day to everyone. When we come back, we're going to talk a little hockey. It's the head coach at Lindenwood, brand new coach. He's going to be introduced tomorrow, but he will make his first comments here today, and that is Keith Fisher. Back in a moment on KMOX.
Now, back to the Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning on 104.1 KMOX. From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
10:34 on Sports on a Sunday morning. Well, recently, Lindenwood University on Monday announced the hiring of Keith Fisher as the next head coach of the men's hockey program. Fisher arrives in St. Charles after spending 13 seasons on the staff at Penn State, and he arrives on the airwaves of KMOX right now. You're going to be introduced tomorrow, so I appreciate you taking a little advanced time with us on KMOX. How are you?
The St. Charles, St. Louis area late last night, and going to do a little house hunting today, and looking forward to the announcement tomorrow at Centene Center.
You're a Minnesota native. What do you know about St. Louis as a hockey town?
Well, it's funny. I've always been a Blues fan because I was a huge Brett Hull fan. He played at Minnesota Duluth in college, and that was my team growing up. So I always followed the Blues, and I always had Blues posters in my bedroom as a Brett Hull fan. So secretly, I always been a St. Louis Blues fan, and I know St. Louis is a great hockey market. In my time with the Omaha Lancers, Princeton, and Penn State, we've always had St. Louis players on it. This is a great hockey town, a great hockey market, and really excited to get going.
And you were just here at the Frozen Four, so you got a view close up of fans right on top of you. I was there with my daughter. That was an incredible weekend at Enterprise Center.
It was a great experience to be a part of. I wish we could have stayed a couple days longer. But that just shows the passion and enthusiasm that the fans of St. Louis have, you know, not only for the Blues, but hockey in general. And hopefully we can take that passion and keep growing Lindenwood hockey.
The 2020 Terry Flanagan Award winner, Keith Fisher, honored as the nation's top assistant. As well as your career body of work, you have coached 3 Big Ten Players of the Year, 2 coming on the defensive side, 12 all-conference performers, a pair of All-Americans, 3 NHL players while at Penn State. It's been a great run at Penn State, Keith. What drew you to Lindenwood?
Well, I think kind of the situation I got into at Penn State, it's building a program from scratch. We went from ACHA to the NCAA Division I into the Big Ten. We're in that same transition here at Lindenwood. You know, and it's an exciting time to be a part of the program, just with their whole athletic department moving up from Division II to Division I, and to help build a program and to put your stamp on a program. And I hope to build this up like we built up the program at Penn State, where I consider Penn State, you know, a top 10, top 15 program in the country right now.
Lindenwood with some big wins recently, within the last year, knocking off Wisconsin, the likes of some of the better ones, Keith.
Yeah, you know what? I give the last staff a lot of credit. I think they did a great job kind of developing the culture and bringing the guys together, and they had some big wins. You know, and I think they did a great job recruiting and leaving us here with a lot of great players. So a lot of credit goes to them, but we're still in that building stages. And, you know, they had 8 wins last year, and it's my goal to take it up. You know, keep building on that, and hopefully we're playing in NCAA tournaments. You know, I can't give you a timetable on that, but that's our goal, is to keep building this program and, you know, go from 8 to 10 to 12, 14, 16, you know, however increments we go. But we want to keep building this thing, and we have everything here at Lindenwood to do that.
Keith Fisher is the new head coach at Lindenwood University. My daughter is going to Miami of Ohio in the fall. I see Lindenwood on her schedule. She's going to go to all the games, whether it's in Oxford. She may have to travel to go see the Red Hawks as well. That should be fun. Just tell us about, you, from your perspective, college hockey, why it has been so attractive to so many through the years.
Well, I look at our developmental model for the NHL. You know, previously guys had 2 options: to go to the Canadian Hockey League, where they have to sign when they're 15 years old, or choose to play college. And more guys are choosing to play college. And you just look at the developmental model in college hockey, where you can practice all week, you work out all week, you're putting on muscle, you're putting on weight, and guys are stepping in right in the National Hockey League and making a big-time impact. You know, now with the recent rule changes in NCAA making the CHL players available, there's going to be a big influx in talent across, you know, college hockey. And I think that's going to bring up the whole level of college hockey. So, I mean, you're going to have a big-time product, and this is going to be a big-time stepping stone for players to play college hockey, get an unbelievable degree, and they can still chase their dreams of playing in the National Hockey League. So it's a win-win overall. But I just think the developmental model, I think the college life, you know, fits a lot of people. And we can see the impact that guys are making from college hockey into the NHL now.
Hey, look at Jimmy Snuggerud. He just walks right into the Blues in a playoff race. It's just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It doesn't surprise me after playing against him for 3 years. You know, I mean, he's a big-time player, and you're going to see more and more of that. Guys stepping right from college hockey right into National Hockey League lineups, whether it's the playoffs or regular season, and making a big-time impact. And I think Jimmy's going to be a big-time player for the Blues. I mean, I'm lucky I don't have to coach against him anymore, because he scored a lot of goals against us at Penn State.
Now you get to go see him. On your off days, you might be able to go watch a little Blues hockey downtown. That's got to be appealing, being in a hockey-centric city. You mentioned this in the beginning, that you've seen a lot of St. Louis players through the years, but it really has grown, hasn't it, Keith? I mean, this is a hotbed right now for young players.
I mean, it is, and I take my experience all the way back. You know, I was with the Omaha Lancers, and right away we had Jan Stasny on my first year team there, and then we had Paul Stasny and Jeff Lovecchio, you know, our big names here, and that's almost, you know, 23, you know, 24 years ago. So I go back that far, but then you look at the draft class when we had, the five first rounders. It's grown incredibly here. But a lot of that you look at is like a lot of the Blues alumni have stayed here throughout the years, and that's what makes it so appealing. So, you know, if those guys are staying in this area, you know it's a great place to live and raise kids. And but those guys have gotten involved and done a great job with the youth hockey around here. And I think that's part of the reason that it's grown, that they've given back. They've done a great job coaching. I know Jeff Brown has coached at many different levels, and a lot of the Blues have. So I think that's a big part of it. It is a big-time hockey market. You look at two pro sports teams here are the Blues and the Cardinals. You know, you don't have the NFL. You don't have the NBA. And that's what makes it so appealing. And, those are two big-time, ultra-successful franchises in their respective sports.
And once you win a cup, like we did here in St. Louis, at least I'm speaking for myself, I guess, having grown up here and grew up a Blues fan, is I pay even more attention now to the Stanley Cup Final than I ever did. Knowing what it takes to see my team win it and what it's like to win it, I'm always fascinated. And our final thing here, your breakdown of what's going on there. I was asked this morning, can Edmonton force a game 7 against Florida? I said, well, sure, they can. I mean, two very, very exciting teams. Florida looks like the better team to me, but Edmonton is incredibly explosive.
I mean, Edmonton has the two best players in the series with Draisaitl and McDavid. I mean, you can't take that away from them. I just look at the depth and structure of Florida, and they've been there. But you talk about it's a grind. I mean, this is the 30th in a row that they play in the Stanley Cup Final. I mean, that's really limiting your summers. And, it is a grind. And, Florida goes four lines deep, which I think is huge. I know last night McDavid had over 25 minutes on the ice, and that takes a toll on your body. And they're in back-to-back finals years as well. But it's been an exciting final, and could Edmonton come back? For sure. When they were down 3-0 last year, I thought, okay, this is over, and they forced the game 7. So, when you have two of the best players in the world on the same team, anything can happen. But, man, does Florida look good right now?
They sure do. What a series it has been. Really excited for you. Great to have you part of our sports community, and good luck to the Lions and everything with the men's ice hockey program there. Head coach Keith Fisher, he'll be introduced tomorrow in a press conference on campus and has joined us on KMOX this morning. Thank you so much, Keith.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Great, great stuff. Hockey town, no doubt about it. Lindenwood is really climbing right now in college hockey. So is Maryville, by the way. They're putting some resources into Maryville quite a bit. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll head out to Worldwide Technology Raceway. General Manager Chris Blair putting the finishing touches on that track before the Bomarito Automotive Group 500 tonight. We get out there next on KMOX.
Now, back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning on 104.1 KMOX. From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Let's head out to Worldwide Technology Raceway, the site of tonight's Bomarito Automotive Group 500, but plenty of activity between now and then. Good morning, Chris Blair, the Executive Vice President and General Manager of Worldwide Technology Raceway. How are you?
Hey, it's a beautiful day, Tom. I'm happy that I can finally say that. No rain, and it looks great. It's been a perfect morning so far.
That's outstanding. How did yesterday go? Will Power wins the pole for the race tonight.
Yeah, yesterday it was a jigsaw puzzle real early with us changing the schedule about 10 times to work around the rain. But once we got cars on track, it was absolutely incredible. There was a lot of drama. It came down to those final few cars before we saw it. And Will goes out. He gets the pole. Will gets the pole. That was the 700th pole for Penske Racing, which that was pretty incredible. Knocks his teammate out of the way. So and he's won here before, runs good here. I think it's going to make it for an exciting race to see what Will can pull off.
And his Team Penske teammate, Scott McLaughlin, is second on the list. Will Power and Scott McLaughlin showing off a little bit yesterday. Right there is Pato O'Ward. He always seems to be at your track. He is in his third top three start of the season. David Malukas, the A.J. Foyt Racing driver, is fourth. And Joseph Newgarden, this is his season best fifth. We all know what he's done. 5 races he has won at Worldwide Technology Raceway, but hasn't won yet this year. I'm curious how he's doing. I'm sure you've spoken with him.
Yeah, and he doesn't really seem too pumped up and happy like you normally see with Joseph. He's pretty focused. He knows he's got to win this race to turn his season around. So that's going to be interesting to see how he handles this pressure, because if he doesn't have a good race, you can pretty much count him out. But I tell you who really is impressing me, and he's been doing it more and more lately, is Malukas. And I think he's due. There's a lot of people that have him on the radar to see him possibly move up to the another team very, very, very soon. He's a talented driver. He's doing a lot, accomplishing a lot, and it'd be amazing to see an AJ Foyt team winning here in St. Louis.
I think another star to watch today is Alex Palou. I mean, he wins the Indy 500. He finally wins on an oval. You have an oval, sort of. I mean, it's an interesting shape of track, and I think it'll be a challenge. It is for everybody. For Palou, we'll see if he can pull it off.
Yeah, well, he's a road course and street racing specialist, and his experience at Indy, long straightaways and very consistent corners. Here, no two turns are the same. We got that real long straightaway. You got to do some downshifting going into one and two. There's just a whole lot of challenges. This is really a champion's track. And, Palou, he's got three championships, but he hasn't been able to pull it off on what they would call a short oval. So this is his opportunity to really firmly establish himself as one of the all-around greats. And it'd be incredible to see him be able to pull that off, coming in here riding such a wave of momentum after the Indianapolis 500. But I just saw him a few minutes ago. He was down in the camper area with his kids and stuff. He's relaxed and smiling. I think he's going to be in good shape getting ready for the race today.
That's good to hear. This is Chris Blair, General Manager of Worldwide Technology Raceway. Let's talk about what's happening today. I'll be over at the track a little bit later, bringing my daughter Audrey, a little Father's Day experience for us. And I think a lot of people are going to do the same, Chris. It's very family friendly, and there's a lot to see, hear, eat, drink, all wrapped into one.
Yeah, and it kicks off. We've got a church service that'll be taking place out in our campground at 12:30. We've got a band playing for that. That's going to be fun. Then, the action moves over onto the midway. We've got the new Father's Day zone that we've put together. It's a kids zone with some Father's Day aspects to it. That's going to be really cool. I think the kids are going to love it. We've got Sponge and Soul Asylum playing on the main stage there on the midway. The vintage cars, we've got car show guys rolling in, and then, of course, the racing. And then, tonight, when the race is over, we've got an amazing fireworks show set to music that's going to be firing off as soon as the checkered flag drops. Thanks to the folks at Discover Downstate Illinois Tourism. They're sponsoring that fireworks show to officially kick off the Route 66 celebration, and then a post-race concert with Chase Wright. So it is a full day with something for everybody. It's going to be we want to create more than just a race. We want to create a festival that makes memories, and we're on track for that today.
Isn't it true that Chase Wright was going to just do the national anthem and then decided that he would do that to help tornado relief, tornado victims? Is that true?
Yeah, he heard about all the things that we were doing, because prior to the start of the race, we're going to recognize all the many construction companies and linemen, roofing companies, everybody that have donated their resources and their manpower. We're hosting probably somewhere in the ballpark of 2,300 folks who aided in the relief efforts, and all these great St. Louis companies that rallied together. And normally they're competitors with one another. Now they're all coming together for such a great cause. So we want to use this as our way of saying thank you to them, for recognizing what they do, and then to showcase to the national television audience and everybody abroad that St. Louis really rallies together when we need it the most, and we show compassion towards one another. So he found out about that story that we're going to be recognizing them. So we're having this post-race concert just to add a little bit more of a way of thank you to them when they come out here for this race.
Wow, that's incredible. So you have the Indy Next race at 3:30 today. That lasts about an hour, if I'm not mistaken. So that should wrap at about 4:30. Then you go Soul Asylum at 4:45. Your Police Tribute Laps, which are a must-see, at 6:15. The driver intros at 6:30. So be in your seats early, folks. And is there anything else that people need to know about parking or any other must-knows as they go into the race today?
Well, you know, if you haven't been to Worldwide Technology Raceway in a while, we've expanded our parking. It's 10 times what we had when we first had this IndyCar race nine years ago. So if you follow the directions, go to 1905 Collinsville Road, streamlined entry. We'll get you in. We'll get you out quick. And I recommend showing up, you know, try to get here around 2 o'clock if you've got a free afternoon, because we've got the driver autograph session. Every single driver on the tour will be there. You can meet them. And that's a great way to kick off the day. So you can come out then. But if you do decide you have to wait until the last minute, we do have a way of getting you in and getting you out of here quick. So that's my recommendation. Punch it into your GPS, 1905 Collinsville Road, and we'll get you taken care of.
What's the best way to get tickets, Chris, if people don't have them in hand right now?
You can go to WWTRaceway.com. That's the best bet. But if you just want to show up at the gate and buy a ticket, we will be there for you. And again, as a reminder, great Father's Day gift. We've got that $66 family package, two adults, two kids, four hot dogs, and four Pepsis for $66. If you're looking for some entertainment, come on out.
That's awesome. I look forward to it. It's been a pleasure to work with you over there through the years, and I will be over there in a little while. Thanks for the visit on KMOX.
Thanks, buddy. We'll see you soon.
Chris Blair, Executive Vice President, General Manager, Worldwide Technology Raceway, IndyCar, taking place there tonight on network TV on a Sunday night for the first time. It's 10:57. We'll be back after the 11 o'clock news.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
From KMOX Sports, this is the Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
All right, let's get you up to date on everything that's going on in sports over the next 12 hours. It's a big day today. They're already underway at the U.S. Open. The final round is taking place. IndyCar runs tonight at Worldwide Technology Raceway. And, of course, we have Cardinal Baseball with pregame coming your way in about an hour. So for Father's Day, you got it all. And, yes, I'm going to experience all three. I'm going to listen to the Cardinals game. I'm going to watch a little U.S. Open. Then I'm going to head over to Madison, Illinois, 5 minutes from the Arch, and go watch some IndyCar tonight. So it's going to be a great day today. on KMOX and in St. Louis. As for the IndyCar race, that is at 7 o'clock tonight. The pole sitter is none other than Will Power. He's done it five times. That is a record. He is Team Penske. Joseph Newgarden is running fifth at the start of the race. He qualified fifth. That's a season best for him. He's the favorite in this race, even though he hasn't won a race this year. He is a two-time Indy 500 winner, and he's a five-time winner of the Bomarito Automotive Group 500. He just loves this track. My pick to win today, Drew asked me to make a pick, so I'm making a pick. It's going to be Scott McLaughlin, the number two on your list today. Pato O'Ward third. It's another guy who could win this. It has evaded him many times and probably gets a little frustrating. He's very good on this track, but so is McLaughlin. McLaughlin's excellent on this track, and I asked him recently about that run of success.
Yeah, I mean, I love the track. Gateway's been such an amazing spot for me, and it's one of the first oval tracks I actually drove. Did some tests in here when I was in my rookie year, and I think we've had a really good success. Every race that we've run, we've finished in the top 10 and qualified on pole a couple of times. I don't know what it is about the track that I just love, but it suits my car and suits my driving style. And that next step for me is to win the race. And I really think we can do that this year.
And I think he has a little bit of an edge to him. He's the one who crashed in the warm-up lap at the Indy 500, never got to run it. That's devastating when you prepare that much for the biggest race of all of them and then you can't run in it. He also has had a couple of bumps and little controversies going on and things like that that has not gotten him over the top, just some ups and downs on the season. And I think it's really exciting to see what Scott McLaughlin can do. He is going to run today as a front row partner along with Will Power, a couple of Team Penske guys who can just fly out there along with Newgarden. They're all Team Penske. And I think McLaughlin wins today, but we'll see if I'm right. It is the Bomarito Automotive Group 500 Worldwide Technology Raceway here in St. Louis, Madison, Illinois, to be specific. Meanwhile, also taking place today is the U.S. Open. We talked to Dan Reardon last hour about that tournament. Right now, we are awaiting the leaders to tee off. That'll be Sam Burns, who is the leader right now. He is 4 under for the championship. Let me run this down for you. Sam Burns tees off at 1:15 local time. That is St. Louis time, 2:15 Eastern. So you still got some time until the leaders. With him is Adam Scott. Scott is 3 under, 1 shot back. Scott is the only one in the top 10 who has won a major. And the 44-year-old Aussie had an outstanding day yesterday, firing a 67. He's 3 under. Burns is the leader. The American is 4 under. Burns is from Louisiana. J.J. Spawn from L.A., he is 3 under for the championship and tied with Adam Scott. Victor Hovland, watch out. Hovland tees off at 104, and the Norwegian golfer is one of the best ball strikers in the world. He's 1 under. Only 4 players in red numbers: Burns, Scott, Spawn, and Hovland. Then there's the group that goes at 12:53. Before them, Carlos Ortiz, who's even, and Tyrrell Hatton, who is 1 over. Thurston Lawrence is 1 over. He tees off at 12:42, along with Rasmus Nergard Pedersen. RNP is also 2 over. McIntyre and Young at 3 over. Leishman got her up at 4 over. Scotty Scheffler is 4 over. He goes at 12:04. I don't anticipate Scotty Scheffler winning this major, but if anybody could make it interesting, it is the number one player in the world, who's just kind of hanging around still, tied for 11th at the start of this final round for him. Right now on the course, you have, among others, Rory McIlroy. McIlroy is playing the back nine and trying to finish strong after what was a very difficult day yesterday. Brooks Koepka is out there. Bryson DeChambeau is not. He didn't make the cut. Colin Morikawa is out there. But all of these players are out of it and are way back. I mean, so it just kind of tells you how tough this course is. Oakmont is an absolute beast. Cardinal baseball today at 1:10. We'll have Miles Michaelis pitching for St. Louis and Quinn Priester on the other side for the Brewers. Cardinals won yesterday 8-5. We went through it with you, and we'll go through it with John Mozeliak coming up at 11:30. City tied LA Galaxy yesterday 3-3, a hat trick for Klaus. And we'll discuss that and more with Lutz Fannisdiel, sporting director for City, coming up in just a few minutes at 11:15. We talked a little bit earlier with Keith Fisher, the new hockey coach at Lindenwood University. They have themselves a new coach who comes from Penn State. I thought that was a fun conversation. Did not know that he was a Blues fan growing up. That's an added bonus, so great to have him in our community. Stanley Cup final last night, 5-2 win for Florida over Edmonton to take a 3-2 series lead back home. With the Stanley Cup in the house, they're trying to win back-to-backs. That'll be on Tuesday. Tomorrow is the NBA Finals Game 5, Indiana at Oklahoma City. That gives you a little overview of what's going on in sports right now. When we come back, Lutz Fannisdiel, sporting director for City, joins us right here on KMOX.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Well, exciting times yesterday at Energizer Park, without a doubt, as Klaus delivers a hat trick, the first three-goal performance in City history. City ends up in a 3-3 draw with the LA Galaxy, and joining us is sporting director Lutz Fannisdiel back on KMOX. Good morning, Lutz.
Good morning, Tom.
Nobody knows how to electrify a crowd like Klaus. I mean, he's been doing that since the beginning of this franchise, hasn't he? What a day for him.
Yeah, you know, a player who got criticized a lot in recent weeks for just not simply scoring, actually delivering quite well on the field when it comes to performance, but just couldn't find the back of the net. Now, looking at all the stats in all competitions, having scored seven, I think six now, five in the league and two in the cup. Yeah, definitely okay. But the goals he actually scored yesterday were, well, I would say the first one was good, but the second and third one were unbelievable. I actually would say, Tom, that the third one was probably the best goal, the most spectacular goal who was ever scored in an Energizer Park since the stadium actually is there.
You know what? Let's hear it. Listen to this. This is the radio call. This is Joey Zanaboni on Y98 FM.
Berkey bullets it forward. Header by Bob Grunner. That's all close. Oh, I don't believe it. Hits it into the upper 90 across the face. The goal to tie it 3-3. Stoppage time. Second half.
Somebody be there for Joey Zanaboni. Wow, what a call. But I love
that. Yeah, I gave him some oxygen afterwards. he nearly had to be a mouth-to-mouth to get him back on track after that goal.
I mean, my goodness. And then, by the way, that was only half the call. I mean, he was losing it there towards the end. But at the beginning of that, you heard him say, Berkey bullets it ahead. Berkey helped make that happen, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was basically the last possibility is just really get the ball into the box. Berkey delivered that free kick, and I think Baumgartel with a nice little flick on. And then it was the day of Klaus, yeah? Santa delivered, and, you know, he just had that, you had that feeling yesterday that he can score from every angle, from every possibility. He scored with his left foot, with his right foot. It was all done yesterday, so the performance was great. Unfortunately, as you said, it was spectacular. It was entertaining. But looking at the table, you know, we got a 3-3 against the team which is below us. And there's not many teams below us at the moment. So that was the negative side of it. But, Tom, if you're looking at the way we played in general, I think the energy between the players, the energy which comes from the bench, and I think it was another step forward. We just have to, you know, when we do score, we have that, at the moment you have that feeling we score a goal, and within 5, 6, 7 minutes we concede because we became insecure, we sit back too far. It's kind of we're waiting for the other team to act, and we just react. If we get that out of our system and be able to close a game, and instead of waiting for the opponent to come, but that we actually going for the second goal, and would be 2-0 up or 3-1 up. I think that's what we need to do, what we need to work on. And looking at the table, looking at all the results from this weekend, you know, it's not over yet. It's still up to us to win as many games as possible. And I'm happy with the way David Critchley spoke to the team before the game. The training week in general was very good. And I think it was some decent football to watch.
It absolutely was. There is a different vibe around the team. And I got the sense when you made the change that you're not saying that Olaf Melberg isn't a good coach. I mean, he's been around the game for a long time. You're just trying to find the right fit. And it seems like right now you have found a fit for how you want to play.
Yeah, it's I think it's a pretty simple one for us to say that we have an identity, we have a DNA, and we have a clear style of play, and that's unnegotiable. And if we cannot see that on the field, then it becomes alarming. And having a guy like David Critchley in our own rank since day one, which kind of really grew up within this whole franchise. I told you last week, I remember when I spoke to him the first time and said, I like the way you play football with the Lufius 2005 team. That's something which if we fine-tune it, it really could become that pressing style I want to look at. And he bought in from day one. He works hard on it. He's open. He wants to learn. And he has a very, very good approach, a very good speech to the players. And he can convince. He can convince people to buy in. And I think it's great to see one of our own coaches to sit there, to be there. Really lots of respect and lots of love for David Critchley because he did an amazing job so far.
I agree with you. And I think when it comes to players, too, players sometimes don't get the criticism that they should, in my opinion. I think that a lot of times when things don't go well, everybody will point to the coach. And I think the same thing applies here when things do go well. While Critchley has done a terrific job, I think some credit should go to Klaus, and it was all of you that found a way to unlock this, part of it by making a coaching change. But I think Klaus does deserve some credit for bearing down, changing his game, getting back to who he is, and finishing. And he finished all right yesterday.
Yeah, it's not just Klaus. Klaus is now obviously the man in the headlines because mm-hmm. he have a hat trick, and congratulations to have that first ever City hat trick. Beautiful that it's in our own stadium. But I think it's always about not just the first 11. It's about everybody involved, the guys on the bench, the coaching staff. I think all that got back on track. I really enjoy watching every training session. The intensity is much higher. It's always in professional sports that the first person who gets picked on is usually the head coach, and players having a little bit of a longer leash. But I think we also need to look in a way that this team was assembled or put together for exactly the way we want to play. And if suddenly there is a way which is very different, players do struggle. It took players a long time to get used to that, and they probably never did. And now, coming back to basics, coming back to the way we want to play, again, I'm not saying that we will win every game now, but at least you can see what we want to do. You can see the style. You can see the conviction about what we want to do. And I think we made in the last three games, we made really big steps forward. Great now that a break is coming. The guys can chill for 3, 4, 5 days before we're back on the field. And then we have another home game. The fans were fantastic yesterday. Even after we nearly killed ourselves with that mistake for the third goal, there was still some energy in the stadium, what you normally can't expect. Sometimes in other stadiums, people stand up and go home. And the support was great. And you felt it when Klaus caught that last goal. It just was an electric atmosphere in Energizer Park, and it was great to see. And I really think people are looking forward to come back again against Orlando.
And how about this? That's the first assist for City SC for Roman Berkey. I wanted to ask you about his leadership.
It wasn't really because Baumgartel flicked it on, so I think Timo gets the assist.
Okay, well, this is according to your...
Let's give it to Roman as well. Give him a double. I'm okay with that.
This was according to your post-game notes from your team, so it could be. This was... And by the way, this was delivered yesterday, so maybe they've changed it since then. But it says that Roman Berkey recorded his first ever assist for City SC. But I think my point of bringing up Roman is that I don't know if he wants to coach someday. I haven't spoken to him about it, or I haven't really heard him talk about that, but boy, does he know the game. I mean, you can see him directing people, telling them where to go. You know more than anybody what he's like behind the scenes, intense, smart, leader. He is so much to what you do. You can see all of those things happening in real time, can't you, Lutz?
Yeah, the goalkeeper, I think, you know, you have the whole game in front of you. So you see lots of things what other players are simply not able to see. So I think that teaches you a lot about the game, or a lot of spaces and directions. And I think him being a very experienced player, you know, has played at a top level in Borussia Dortmund and in the Champions League. I think he is just, for us, the difference maker in the changing room and on the field, but also off the field. He has a role model position within our team, because everybody, it doesn't matter if youngsters or other players, looking up to him. And it's also about the way, Tommy, you carry yourself. Very professional. You know, he looks after his body. He's not the youngest anymore, but he's top fit. And I think if you would watch him in training, he always is at 100%. So whatever, whenever you look at him, whenever you watch what he does, it's just the highest professional standard I think you can get. We're very happy that he's here right now. We are very positive that he will be here a little bit longer. And that's for us like an unbelievable personality to have within our club.
And then finally, you'd mentioned the break. Get these guys off their feet for a little bit and let them be with your family. What do you do during the break, Lutz?
Good question. I will actually stay here. I have a transfer window to do. I have a lot of other things to come up now in the next few weeks. And we're having right now the Nationals for our academy teams in Nashville, where we have all our academy teams there playing. So I might have a little road trip to Nashville in the middle of this week to hope that our youngsters are getting hopefully some silverware there, but compete against the best teams in the country. And then, the Orlando game is not too far away. The players coming back. So business as usual for me.
All right. Well, I appreciate you joining us on KMOX. We'll try to hit you up for next Sunday as well, as you will be taking on, as you mentioned, Orlando City. That'll be on June 25th at Energizer Park, 10 days from now at 7:30. Lutz, thanks for the time. Happy Father's Day to everyone in your crew and across St. Louis City SC.
Happy Father's Day to you as well.
Appreciate you. Lutz Vanhagestiel, Sporting Director, St. Louis City SC. When we come back, John Mozeliak joins us, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations. Cardinals at Brewers today at 1:10. You're listening to Sports on a Sunday Morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
Now, back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday Morning on 104.1 KMOX. From the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to the show. Our thoughts and condolences to the O'Brien family. The grandfather of Cardinals reliever Riley O'Brien, Johnny O'Brien, passed away on Friday night. He was 94. Riley's just a great guy. Got to know him at the Cardinals Caravan, and his grandfather played for the Cardinals. He was a Cardinal, and I think that's such a special thing to have that in the family, and I know that they are hurting today, and we wish them the very best, their entire family. We send our love. This is John Mozeliak, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, and happy Father's Day to you and your family, Mo.
Well, thank you, Tom. Happy Father's Day to you.
I know that you love being a dad. You got some great kids, and you're going to be able to spend a little more time with them, I would imagine. You have a busy, busy job, but they are a huge part of your life.
Yeah, unfortunately, neither are home. One's up in Boston and the other's out in the Cape, but they're both doing great. I'm certainly thinking of them, but as you know, as you get older, there is that separation. But, you know, from a baseball standpoint, they've understood what dad does, and they certainly have enjoyed that experience. And then next year, hopefully, my pace changes enough where I can see them a little more.
Yeah, that's good to hear. John Mozeliak is with us, who had watched his team. That thing got spicy yesterday. Cardinals beat the Brewers 8-5. That's not 2011 spice. And let me tell you, folks, on the side, that those two teams did not like each other, and it was a big part of why the Cardinals pushed so hard and ended up winning the World Series in 11. That was a big-time rivalry. But this one got a little interesting yesterday, didn't it, with the collision at first base, the hit by pitch. Wilson Contreras was involved in all of that, Mo.
Yeah, let's just start with the play at first. It seems to be a lot to do about nothing, but it obviously irritated a few people. And, you know, I think you have to understand there's a man that used to be a full-time catcher, transitions over to first. And, you know, maybe the best strategy is always step forward, like towards the infield. He stepped back, clipped him, but it wasn't intentional. And, you know, those things happen. And then, you know, it wasn't like we got upset because Pallante had a collision at the plate and got flipped up. Again, not intentional. But then to see him then get intentionally hit, you know, careful when you push the bear. You never know. So I certainly hope calmer heads prevail and baseball can be played. But, yeah, it definitely got a little tense yesterday, and who knows what today will bring.
Yeah, it certainly looked like Quintana was trying to hit Burleson, couldn't. Then he gets Contreras. Arenado walks. Drew, why don't you play for us what happened after that? Lefty-lefty matchup, Nolan Gorman.
The pitch. A swing, and there's a high fly ball. Center field, hit deep. It might go. It's a goner for Gorman. A three-run homer. And the Cardinals punch back. They lead 7-1 in the fifth inning.
I like to think that somewhere Mike Shannon was cackling and cracking open a Budweiser. Man, would have loved that. Nolan Gorman going deep. That's how you do it, John Mozeliak.
Yeah, obviously, you know, we're struggling right now. Yesterday was a great bounce back game for us. We needed it, to say the least. And just to see the way we did it, offense was clicking yesterday. We did have that timely hit. Obviously, in Gorman's case, a huge hit, home run. And so as you watch that game unfold, you know, even in that eighth inning, it got pretty stressful. But, you know, right now we needed that win. Hopefully we can build from it and get back into what we were playing like prior to this past week.
What is it like to have Jordan Walker back in the mix? He had a nice little rehab in Memphis, didn't he?
Yeah, it was shorter than really planned. But, you know, sometimes you got to zig and zag in a season. And it was nice to see him at least put bat to ball yesterday. And, you know, hopefully, even though he had a stint at rehab, it won't affect his timing. So I know prior to him even going out on that rehab, he was doing a lot of work underneath and getting his swings in. So we feel pretty confident he'll be in a good spot. But having that right-handed bat in our lineup is something we need, especially given how effective he was prior to the injury.
How is Donnie doing? That's a touchy, kind of sensitive area there, that toe injury.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, we haven't really spoken about sort of the ups and downs of this the last 10 days or so, but not having, you know, him in the lineup is definitely a big loss. And so I'm hoping that he's going to get back in there today. And, you know, hopefully we can just manage his pain tolerance, because that's really what it comes down to. And, you know, he's not going to put himself in a bad spot, but should he hit it or, you know, twist it in some way, it can be excruciating, I've been told.
Yeah, no question. This is John Mozeliak with us as the Cardinals play at 110 today. Miles Michaelis takes the ball. All of these starts are important. And, you know, look, you lost six games in a row. There's a variety of reasons for that. But would you agree with me that the foundation of your team, or really any team, is the rotation? The rotation's got to be solid. Just your overarching thoughts on the rotation last time through.
Yeah, I mean, baseball is simple, right? Like, if you're pitching well, then you're hopefully scoring some runs. If you're scoring runs and you're not pitching well, you need both to really be a truly successful team. And so this past week, you did see a little bit of leaking in our rotation. Weren't going as deep, giving up runs earlier than we have seen throughout the season. So that's been a negative effect on us. And then also, our offense really wasn't just pounding out runs this past week. So we kind of had the double-edged sword going, and obviously we weren't winning games. So when you talk about someone like Miles Michaelis today, he's got to keep us in the game. He's got to keep the ball in the ballpark and pitch efficiently, because right now Good news is we have a day off tomorrow, but you don't want to pressure bullpen too much because we are in a pretty stiff part of the schedule right now as far as just games.
Mo joins us every Sunday at 11:30, and we love that. You also joined us recently on the Gas House Gang on a Wednesday, and I appreciated that as well. And one thing that you mentioned in there that I thought we just would finish on here for the Sunday audience that didn't get to catch is you talked a little bit about kind of transitioning over to Chaim Bloom, which I found interesting, where, you know, he'll have a lot of say on the draft, whereas in the past you were able to oversee that and allow Randy Flores and others. And, you know, as you get closer to the end of the season, he's going to have a little more, I guess, you know, say as to what goes on, and that transition will be underway. Is that how it was set out to be when you started talking about this succession plan?
Yeah, let me kind of resum that up for you.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously I still have my day job, but as we start to have to consider decisions that are going to affect 2026 and beyond, definitely want his input. Obviously people think about my job is, you know, managing the 26-man roster, the 40-man roster, but it is much bigger than that. And we have a lot of employees underneath. A lot of employees want to know where they're going to be in 2026 or 2027 and beyond. And so as we start to get closer to that October 31st date, there's things that he has to weigh in on because that's going to affect the future. As far as the everyday club, how we play it out right now, that still falls on my desk. And, you know, hopefully we have a lot of success and we have a challenging decisions to make when we get to that trading deadline.
I think that's well said. I appreciate that. And I've said this a million times. John Mozeliak handles more behind the scenes than anybody would know. You don't talk about it a lot, but I've seen it. I've heard it. So I know that there's a lot to sort through here as you make this transition.
Yeah, and I think, you know, my hope is it's seamless. And, you know, I think I've enjoyed working with Chaim. Obviously, as we get closer to that October date, we're just going to have to be in lockstep. So we do have a real seamless, and the organization doesn't take a step backwards. And that's the most important.
Thank you for the time. Have a great rest of your Father's Day. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Tommy. Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers to you. As the Cardinals take on the Brewers this afternoon, we'll have it for you at 1:10. Pregame with Joe Pott at 12:15. When we come back, we visit with Bernie Miklas right here on KMOX.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Our visit with Bernie Miklas is sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, SaligaHeatingandCooling.com. Happy Father's Day, big boy. How are you?
What's going on? Happy Father's Day to you, my friend.
I'm doing great. I love today. Today's a great day. Got to see the whole family this morning. And then I mentioned earlier, Angie and Erica are going to Miami of Ohio for freshman orientation tomorrow. So Audrey and I are going to the IndyCar race tonight.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Two of us. Yeah.
The Ackerman's always on the move, always having fun.
We always have something going on. We're going to have fun today. Today's a great sports day. You've got IndyCar tonight. You have the U.S. Open this afternoon going into this evening. And at 1:10, the Cardinals and the Brewers. Ooh, that thing got a little hot yesterday. Got a little spicy between those two.
Yeah, I loved it, actually. I think, listen, I don't want to imply the Cardinals weren't competing hard, but I don't care who you are. If you've lost six in a row and no parts of your team are doing well, you know, every part of your team sort of taking a hit and or not played up to standard, you know, it's going to be tough to just be as totally jacked up as far as your morale and feeling great and feeling confident. I mean, as Tony La Russa said many times, men, not machines. And when you lose and lose and lose and lose and get hit over the head, it's going to take an effect on you. So you need something to spark it. But Wilson Contreras, starting with, apparently, you know, sent a group text message to his teammates yesterday before the game, like in the morning, to basically get them fired up. And then his actions during the game certainly backed that up. So that's just one of the reasons why, you know, I love Wilson Contreras. And I think Cardinals fans should love him unconditionally because the guy plays with a lot of heart. Some of the stuff he said after the game, he probably could have toned down some of the language, but you know, that's Wilson Contreras. You know, he's fired up, but his overall point was good. I thought he made a mistake because he's inexperienced. There was no intention there. He stepped back into the runner's path. I mean, he didn't mean to do that. He's still learning the position. He's actually played it very well. But what I thought, and I was talking with Kirsten, my wife, who came down. I said, I want to show you this. And I showed her. I said, look at this first baseman for Milwaukee. Like, you know, he got hit by a pitch. He goes to first base. Contreras is trying to talk to him. And Hoskins wouldn't even look at him. He's looking at him. And then when Contreras got hit by a pitch, went to first base, Contreras is looking at him again and saying a couple things. And Hoskins is looking the other way. So I will say this, call me a homer, that's okay. But if you are going to run your mouth like you're some big fake tough guy of how to play first base or something, and you have a chance when you're actually at first base with the guy you've been shouting at from a distance, and he needs to, you know, talk to you, and you basically don't have the stones to actually acknowledge him. I mean, maybe not play the fake tough guy sheriff of first base if you're not gonna, like, you can, any fool can scream from a dugout, you know. What are you gonna do when a guy's like literally standing with you shoulder to shoulder? I mean, and he wants to see if everything's okay or let me explain or whatever. And you can't even look him in the eye. You're that afraid you can't even look him in the eye. I thought that was hysterical.
I did too. And Quintana, by the way, who plunked Contreras before that, you could tell he was throwing at Burley. He just couldn't get him. Yeah. And then he hits Contreras. Arenado walks. And I said this to John Mozeliak. Somewhere Mike Shannon was cackling and cracking up about Budweiser. He loves that. Gorman goes deep. A three-run bomb. That was a thing of beauty.
Yeah, it was. Remember that remember that 4th of July game in Wrigley Field? Kerry Wood knocked down Pujols, and Pujols hits one like almost off the scoreboard. And remember that? I can't do Shannon, but it's
take
like
a little whiff of that, big boy.
There you go, big boy. How do you like that, big boy? Yeah, I mean, that was... How about Nolan Gorman, by the way, man? I mean, listen, the last 14 games, that he's played in. He's hitting 333. He's drawn a lot of walks, so his on-base percentage over that time is over 400. He's slugging 694. He's got two doubles, a triple, and three homers. And his strikeout rate is still a little bit on the high side. But here's the thing about that. If he is producing and hitting with power and hitting for average and drawing walks, who cares if his strikeout rate is 26% or 28%? Who cares? The problem is when you're not producing and you're striking out a bit too much. But if you're producing, no one should worry about it. And he's clearly taking much better at-bats.
He is the DH today. He'll be batting sixth in the order this afternoon. Donovan at second base will lead off. Got to keep an eye on him, right, Bernie, with his toe?
Yeah, I don't you know, I was texting the other night with our mutual friend and colleague, Kevin Wheeler, and I said, you know, the Cardinals are dragging this out with Donovan, and I understand what they're thinking. We'll get him back soon. He'll only miss a few games. It's worth having him in the lineup as soon as we can get him back. On one hand, I get that. On the other hand, you're playing a division rival, and you are playing shorthanded, and your bench isn't very good, frankly, as is. And then when you take someone off, you have one less bench player, that makes it even worse. And so now I don't know what the latest is, but I know there was some talk that, you know, he won't play today. They're off tomorrow. Well, if they would have just put him on, there is a devil's advocate case to say this, you know, especially if they're going to play the White Sox next. You know, the idea that he's been out there running around a little bit, doing drills, he's been in the batting cage. You know, I've learned this a lot because I've watched the Cardinals do this a lot for a long time. Instead of sort of getting it out of the way, all right, shut him down, put him on the IL, keep him off his feet, let him get nothing but treatment, treatment, treatment. Then you'll put it behind you. My concern now is because they've kind of resisted that and they've been playing shorthanded, but he's still out there doing things. Is this something that's going to be a recurring issue because they never got it fully behind them? I do worry about that, honestly.
It's a fair question. He is listed as the leadoff hitter today, playing second base, so keep an eye on that. But yes, he is in there. Herrera will bat second and catch. Burleson in left, batting third. Newt Barr getting a day. Wilson, cleanup hitter. Arenado, fifth. Gorman, the DH, sixth. Walker in right, seventh. Scott in center, eighth. Barrero, the shortstop, batting ninth. The Cardinals need to get good starting pitching going again. To me, Bernie, that's been the downfall here lately.
No doubt about it. If you go back to May 25th, because it actually kind of started in that Baltimore series, you go back to May 25th, I mean, their ERA, starting pitching ERA, is, it's around 5.56. And the last time I checked, which was Friday night, it also, that was like 28th in Major League Baseball. So to your point, that's where it starts. Listen, Miles Michaelis had done very, very well for a while, but you always wondered whether, well, listen, because, you know, the ball, he obviously doesn't get a lot of strikeouts. The ball's going to be in play. Is it going to turn on him? And it's kind of turned on him his last three times out. So they need a really good one from him today, and it's a tough spot for him. Although, remember Mother's Day last May, he pitched a gem, and the Cardinals broke out of a slump, and that's set them off on a 33-18 stretch. So maybe Michaelis can do that again today. But yeah, I'm concerned about the starting pitching. I think the offense is going to come around. I don't know what to say about Lars Nootbaar. I mean, this is really, really bad. I usually give a guy the benefit of doubt and say, well, it's just a slump. But this is, I think it goes beyond a slump. And obviously his confidence is taking a hit. They really need Lars Nootbaar. If they're going to have a good offense, he's got to be a good hitter at the top of the lineup or wherever they put him. And this is the toughest stretch, the weakest stretch that he's been through as a Cardinal. It's concerning, but we got a ways to go here too.
It does change the lineup look as they continue to cycle through leadoff hitters. Donovan, you would think, would get most opportunity to do that, but his toe's got to hold up. He's the leadoff hitter today. Mason Wynn yesterday, 1-for-5. With a run scored. And in our final minute, Bernie, it's, you know, a division race. I mean, the Reds are in there. The Reds are right in there. The Cubs obviously lead this thing, and I just can't wait for the Cards and Cubs to hook up.
Yeah, and, you know, the Cardinals are, you know, it's not that I'm counting them out of the Central, but realistically, I think the Cubs are, you know, clearly the team to beat. They're also going to load up at the deadline. But you, like you said, you know, the Cardinals and Brewers are neck and neck. Cincinnati's looming about a game behind them, game and a half. then the Cardinals are trying to keep pace, as are the Brewers, as are the Reds, in the National League wildcard race for that third spot. And the Cardinals are still in good shape there. It's not like they're five games out. They're 2.5 out. And this is going to be really, really interesting time between now and the All-Star break, because once you get to the All-Star break, then you're really into the trade deadline period. So it's going to be really, really – it's going to shape a lot of what's to come.
Appreciate you, buddy. Have a great Father's Day.
All right, you too. Thank you, pal.
Bernie Miklas with us on Sports on a Sunday morning. Cardinal baseball comes your way at 12:15, 1:10 first pitch.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.